Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our Gospel reading from the 10th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, with a special emphasis on these words. Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. With the celebration of the 4th of July this past week, many of us took the opportunity to celebrate our nation's independence with family and friends. And I'm hoping that for many of you here in this congregation, this was a day in which you took the opportunity to give thanks and praise to God our Father for the many freedoms which He offers us by means of our citizenship. One thing in particular that I am certainly thankful for, particularly on Independence Day, is the service of the men and the women who fight to secure the freedoms which we all enjoy as a nation, not the least of which is the particular freedom we're exercising this morning, the freedom to assemble in this place for worship. Many times we hear stories around this time of year of the courage and the dedication of our country's soldiers, and other times, we do not. For maybe some of those veterans and war heroes are humble and quiet in their service. Perhaps also the operations they've been a part of are so delicate that they must remain classified for the duration of conflict. But whether we hear about these stories or not, we still take time to remember the constant vigilance and dedication which is needed to preserve the privileges which we enjoy in our day-to-day lives as citizens of the United States. We take this opportunity to remember because we know that if this kind of service is forgotten, then we can very easily begin to take those hard-won gifts for granted. We start to think of them as no big deal or just an ordinary part of life. We forget that in many parts of the world, other peoples and cultures do not enjoy the same gifts that we have been given. Now, in today's gospel lesson, it's not much of a stretch that we might begin to say the same about the work of Christ's church on earth. The church, strengthened and protected by her Lord, stands guard against the forces of the enemy, against Satan. We confront his falsehoods and temptations with the truths found in the Holy Scriptures, the good news of the freedom that we have from sin and death in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the work of the Lord through His church on earth, which ultimately rescues souls who have not yet heard of their Savior. It is this act of rescue from death, from the eternal chains and bondage by the tempter, that is the express mission of not only this congregation, but the whole Christian church of all times and places. It is the work of the Lord that does this in us and through us. In a world which is beset by darkness and death, Christ has given to just one institution in all the earth the power over the devil himself. And that institution, as you guessed, is His church. In other words, it is you and me. That's no small calling, is it? In fact, that's quite phenomenal. It's huge. It is a privilege in which we ought to rejoice and a responsibility which we ought to take seriously. However, we too, despite the protection of our Lord, despite the reception of His gifts, we ourselves are subject to temptation. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh work hard to infiltrate, to lull, and to make us think that nothing special or nothing out of the ordinary is going on in this place. They try to make the gifts of Christ seem mundane or even esoteric, and we who are creatures and products of the world around us, well, we are influenced. We take the bait. But Christ in our gospel lesson from Luke 10 has something quite different to say about the work and the mission of his church. We see in this gospel lesson that he called 72 people in 36 pairs to service. He sent them out to the various villages in which he entered to proclaim God's word and to deliver the good news of the freedom that he has come to win. He told them, whether you are received or not received, let them know in no uncertain terms that the kingdom of God has come near. That's pretty awesome that Christ visits his presence upon those who receive him and those who reject him. This is an early call to what we in the Lutheran Church call law and gospel preaching. Now, like today's church, he gave them triumph. He gave them power to triumph over the forces of sin, the devil, and all of his minions. And yet, you probably noticed that despite this impressive display, which was carried out through his followers and through his disciples, Jesus added the caveat that they were not to glory in the authority which God had given them. Going back to the example of our armed forces, I think of the soldiers that I have met and have talked to about their terms of service. One thing that I've noticed is that none of them have ever been particularly proud of their ability to fight. What I mean is that none of them have ever said how good it feels to pull the trigger or how awesome they felt watching the enemy get wiped out under their strength. This isn't the kind of service that these brave men and women are called to. Instead, talking to them, it was what they were fighting for, I noticed, which is what filled them with pride. Things like freedom, peace, security for their loved ones, these are the reasons that they took pride in their work. Now, Christ told his 72 followers not to rejoice in their power over evil, but rather that their names were written in the book of life. And indeed, it was for the sake of this news that he deployed them. It is that same news today which Christ has called his church on earth to proclaim. Like the 72 in Luke 10, we also are deployed by Christ with his good news of salvation. And in very much the same way as those followers who were sent out, we go out into a world that doesn't always want to hear this good news. Today's church, quite frankly, faces a culture that is by and large moving away from the church and its teachings. Much like the unrepentant cities that we heard about, our world would just as soon rather not hear about the law of Christ, or for that matter, the fact that they need a Savior or that God was so willing to give them one. Think about what Jesus had to say to those towns and cities who turned his messengers away. He said, woe to you, Bethsaida, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Capernaum. You will enter into Hades. To those who have heard about Jesus, who have had the opportunity to receive the gifts that he brings and still have turned him away, he says for them it will be more bearable for Sodom when he returns. Those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, who were consumed by fire from heaven. That is some harsh law. But that's not the message that Christ gives to his church. For us, this means that being deployed by our Savior does not mean guaranteed success every time we preach, not so long as sin continues to resist the proclamation of the gospel. Jesus urges us to place our hope elsewhere. Our joy and hope and consolation does not come from the success of our individual outreach, but rather from the assurance that when we preach Christ and Him crucified, we are preaching the very truth of the gospel of our Lord. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Oftentimes, those who are deployed by Christ to preach His message can indeed be met with hatred. We have a long example of the church that has come before us in our history. Acts chapter 6 tells us of Saint Stephen, one of the earliest Christian martyrs who was stoned to death for preaching and teaching the good news of Christ. Saint Peter, the most well-known among Jesus' 12 apostles, was himself crucified for proclaiming the gospel. Over a millennium later, and decades even before our church father Martin Luther attempted to reform the Catholic Church, a man named John Huss was burned at the stake for challenging papal abuses of authority and of the Holy Sacraments. During World War II, a German Lutheran pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hanged in a concentration camp and for being unwilling to stand by and watch innocents be murdered. And sadly, we know that in 21st century America, we too are not exempt from this kind of violence. Many of you can recall in vivid detail the vicious and racially motivated shooting at Emmanuel Methodist Church in Charleston, South Carolina, a massacre which took place during, of all things, a Bible study, a time and place where people were meant to be comforted in the hearing and proclamation of God's word. Dear brothers and sisters, these tragedies are not meant to scare you away from sharing God's word. They are only meant to illustrate the ferocity which Satan employs against the messengers of Christ. For with these and various other means, he struggles violently against his own imminent demise. Through these attacks, the tempter would have you believe that the call to teach and preach the gospel is nothing more than a lost cause and a fruitless effort. But dear friends, I urge you to be bold, because Christ tells quite a different story from the devil. You see, we are called not only to proclaim the truth of the law and the love and mercy of Christ, but there's another component to this message which often gets overlooked in our preaching. We are given to tell the mighty works not of ourselves, of our own faithfulness and vigilance, but those of our Messiah, his triumph over sin, death, and the devil. With all of his might, Satan tries to drown out the story of Jesus' accomplishment on the cross, the very moment of his victory over the head of the serpent, the moment of our salvation. Yet, it's this story that the church on earth is called to proclaim, that Christ died and rose again, that he has burst the chains of death, and that he has freed us from bondage to sin. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 gives the church this assurance. It says, "Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." You heard right, friends. We are being led in a triumphal procession, a victory lap before the final victory of the resurrection comes to light at the return of our Lord and Savior. As Christians, this means that we are not deployed into the battlefield to give some kind of status report for an ongoing war. Rather, we are announcing Satan's defeat. We are announcing an end to captivity. Hear again the words of your Savior when he says, "I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you." The enemy no longer has any power over us, no ability to harm us. And the reason for this? Because our salvation has already been won. It is this incredible news which we are called, which we are deployed to deliver to all around us. What is the very worst that your enemy can do? Well, he can kill you, but that only means uniting you with your Lord. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, despite the various tribulations which are leveled against us, we rejoice in our deployment. We take joy and gladness in the difficult work that our God has laid before us. We rejoice in the proclamation of his word entrusted to his church by our risen and victorious Lord. We rejoice in the defeat of our captors, sin, death, and the devil. But most of all, we rejoice as our Lord Jesus encourages us to do. We rejoice that our names, like the apostles before us, are written in heaven. And so, dear brothers and sisters, as those deployed by Christ to share his word, I urge you again, do not be afraid. Let not your hearts tremble before the world. Do not despise those whom you minister to that reject you. And do not be disheartened at the attacks of the enemy. The trials faced by the church today are nothing more than the last gasp of the old evil foe before his final and ultimate defeat. They are nothing more than a vain struggle against Jesus' imminent return and the glory of eternal life that he brings to all who believe in his name. We, like the apostles and the evangelists and the prophets before us, prepare the way for his coming. We set souls free from death's captivity with the news of the victory over death and the grave. And so this day, as always, thanks be to God for this good and noble work. Difficult and dangerous though it may be, eternal thanks and praise to him who has given us our independence in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his most mighty name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.